I'm sorry, Boston, but 100 degrees in August kind of feels like spring where I live. On the other hand, Robin, you know, you're right. A lot of the country has been sweltering lately.
It is very, very hot.
That is Kentucky Governor Andy Beshear, who says the heat is complicating search and rescue efforts after the worst flooding his state has ever seen. The governor said today that the death toll is still at 37. Meanwhile, the city of St. Louis was battered by a historic rainstorm last week, with even more this week. Here's what the local news is saying about that.
We've had some heavy rain overnight. Highest totals right now coming in from Lake St. Louis with over 4.5 inches of rain. Even St. Louis land.
And the Pacific Northwest baked in another heat wave last week. Wildfires continue to burn across the West, which is locked in a 22-year drought. So you may be saying to yourself at this point, is all that extreme weather happening more often because of climate change? Well, scientists are increasingly saying yes, and they're using new methods to back it up. Meteorologist Marshall Shepard is a professor at the University of Georgia and director of its Atmospheric Sciences Program. Marshall, welcome back to Here and Now.
Thank you for having me.
So I just read a list of major events and weather catastrophes that are in the headlines right now. But if I had talked to you a couple of years ago, even, and I had asked you the same question, is climate change to blame? I'm betting you would have been pretty reluctant to say yes. Why is that?
Well, I think I would have been reluctant to say it's causation. I certainly, even a few years ago, would have noted that climate change is likely, but there would have been a bit more uncertainty, as you note, in my answer. I think where we are today in 2022, this generation of what we call attribution studies have improved. Techniques have gotten better. And so we are more confident now as climate scientists in attributing certain extreme weather events happening right now to climate change. And I think you're right. That is an advancement over the last 5 to 10 years.
Tell me about this new tool in the toolbox, Rapid Attribution Studies. What is it exactly and how does it work?
Well, we have attribution studies, which are using observational techniques and models to try to essentially quantify what amount of DNA of climate change is in today's weather and climate events. And I co-authored a report for the National Academy of Sciences back in 2016 to assess where we are on that. And what we found is that for heat waves, drought, intense rainstorms, and to some degree, aspects of hurricanes and wildfires, we had varying degrees of ability to, with confidence to say how much climate change is likely influencing those things today. Now, there's a subset of these attribution studies called rapid attribution studies, which essentially means that scientists now, within days, can run experiments using their models or observational techniques to try to determine likelihood that an event was linked to climate change. We just saw that with the heat waves in Europe and London. A study is already out suggesting that that event was 10 or so more times likely because of climate change.
Well, in fact, I think the first time I remember hearing about this was last year when scientists said that the terrible heat wave in the Pacific Northwest, dozens and dozens of people died, that it was virtually impossible without climate change. So why don't you dig into one of those specific examples and tell us what we learned from them?
Yeah, the event that you're talking about in the Pacific Northwest, I believe the study suggests that there was a 115-time likelihood of that event occurring because of climate change, which is essentially suggesting that without climate change, the magnitude of that heat wave in the Pacific Northwest would not have been as severe. Why that's important and why we need such attribution studies is just like with London or parts of Europe, they're not equipped in those parts of the country like Portland with air conditioning in many homes or many businesses. And so when you have an infrastructure or a part of society that's fundamentally not expecting this type of weather, now you get to the so what of why it's important. It's not just a heat wave. This is just not some academic exercise to do these attribution studies. Policymakers, planners, and stakeholders need that information so that they can start developing resiliency, adaptation, and sustainability plans to mitigate what essentially is a new climate world or a new weather reality for us.
Well, and I think even people in the Portland area would say that many of them don't have air conditioning units as well. But what you said makes me think that this technology might not just affect public policy, but also the way that we communicate with the public about climate change, right? Because the message, if you're hearing about a heat wave in the news, for instance, and you know right away, unequivocally, practically, that this is related to climate change, do you think it lands different in the public ear?
I think it does land differently. And I tweeted out there a few weeks ago. I said, look, the visual media has to stop covering heat waves with pictures of kids eating ice cream or frolicking around in fountains. That's kind of an old, outdated way of portraying heat. Heat kills. It's typically in a given year in the United States is, if not the leading, one or two leading weather-related killers. And I think people may be surprised to hear that. They may be thinking about tornadoes or hurricanes or lightning. It's extreme temperatures that kill the most people. Mm. So we have to fundamentally raise the level of alert. Federal government just recently, the U.S. government, the Biden administration just released a new heat website, and that's a step forward. Even with the flooding that we've seen in parts of St. Louis and Kentucky and Illinois in recent weeks, that's a new normal climate system, not of surprise to many of us that warned that a warming climate would have more water vapor available to these storms and we'll get greater intensity in the rainstorms. That's the reality that we live in. And again, these attribution studies have shown us that we are seeing more intensity in the rainstorms in 2022. But the problem with that is that much of our infrastructure, our stormwater management, is designed for the 1960s and 1970s rainstorms, coupled with a greater amount of impervious surfaces, parking lots, and so forth. That's why we're seeing more urban flooding.
I think I heard you suggest in a previous answer that not all disasters are created equal. Is a tornado, for example, as likely to be connected to climate change as a heat wave or a hurricane?
Well, I will say that all weather events are caused by atmospheric conditions. So I don't like to use causation. So a heat wave is not necessarily caused by climate change, but it certainly is being amplified or intensified by climate change. And so you're right. In our studies from the National Academies of Science, what we noted is that we have really high confidence based on scientific knowledge that heat waves, drought, intensity of rainstorms, and to some degree, some aspects of hurricanes are likely, well, not likely, have the DNA of climate change in them today. So that's what we know from an attribution standpoint. However, things like tornadic storms, it would be careless to say at this point in time that we're seeing more tornadoes because of climate change, which is what I heard after the December tornadoes last year, for example. The scientific literature just doesn't conclusively show us that yet. It would be careless to say that we're seeing more tornadoes because of climate change. We just don't know the answer to that part of the equation yet. Now, it turns out that we may end up finding that that's the case, but it takes a bit more in the attribution studies to get at that answer.
And to your doubters, Marshall Shepard, people who will always question expertise or facts, what do you say to defend the science behind these models?
Well, you know, what I would say, and that's a great question because it's certainly something, there are little pockets of doubt and contrarianism, but as a scientist, I'm someone that, you know, talks to the White House and the Waffle House, and I'm seeing a relaxation of that. There are little corners or pockets of it. I still get the occasional tweet saying, but we've always had heat waves and tornadoes. We've always had hurricanes. Climate changes naturally. I said, yes, I promise you that climate scientists like me that went through graduate programs learned that. However, I would also say that grass grows naturally as well, but when we fertilize the soil, that grass grows differently. So I try to remove this idea that it's either or, that it's natural variability or it's anthropogenic climate change. It's actually both. We now have a naturally varying climate system and weather that's being amplified or boosted by this human steroid associated with more fossil fuel burning and greenhouse gases in our atmosphere.
Meteorologist Marshall Shepard, a professor at the University of Georgia and director of its Atmospheric Sciences Program. Marshall, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you for having me.